O Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been following through this sermon series, Covenant and Kingdom. Let me remind you, covenant is about relationship with God, and kingdom is about responsibility before God. Covenant is about being, kingdom is about doing. And I don't know about you, but I guess I do the preparation, so I'm sort of in the thick of this. But I've found as I pursued and thought through these two things that has given cause for me to have a growing sense of excitement. And over the past two sermons in this series, we have looked at the effect of the world falling apart because of the choice we see in history of Adam and Eve to reject God. We call this rejection and its effect sin. We then went on to talk about how this effect worked out in Cain and the story of Noah and the flood. And today we look at this third major event, the story of the Tower of Babel. Now, the reason that the tower was built is interesting. We read, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, otherwise we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." I can't help but thinking, as I've thought about the Tower of Babel, about the Burj in Dubai. What is it, a mile high? So I mean, one mind boggles when you stand there and look at this thing that waves in the wind. I don't know, I feel very safe up there. Anybody feel a conviction of wanting to, well, it must be because it's still standing. But we ask, what is this? You know, this drive and the human nature to build something bigger and better than anybody else. I mean, history is smattered with towers that people seem to want, and I have the biggest. One wonders what the next extent will be. Will it tip the earth over? Will it be like under a yacht? What do you call it? The keel? You know, will the earth have to... Never mind, let's not go there. But there are all sorts of things our mind could imagine. But here they were, a tower with its top in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. It's interesting, isn't it? Otherwise we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. See, these planners and builders had not learned from their ancestors' attempt to determine their destiny. Instead of violently attacking each other, they are trying to force God to bless their accomplishments. What is more, they want this to happen in one place. But God has commanded them to be fruitful and multiply and to fill the earth. The truth is, they didn't trust God. And they didn't honour God. They trusted and honoured their own divinity rather than being God's image bearers. They were into self-glorification, which is never pretty, no matter how we look at it. But what were they building? Well, I think in effect they were building their egos. And this raises a question. What are we building? What are you building? What do we do to lessen our sense of vulnerability? Remember, from a covenant relationship perspective, we find our identity from who God is and who He has declared we are with Him. This means we live in the identity He has given us rather than working to build an identity from our imagination and the words and judgments of others. You see, these city builders were actually trying to build something to keep them together. You know, it's a bit like, you know, we go away on a weekend somewhere with a bunch of mates and it gets towards the end of the weekend and we think, darn, we got to go home. But if any of us who have got kids know that it's not long before, you know, things go to custard somewhere, and the longevity of hanging out together, there needs to be some room. But these people, they were afraid of spreading out, weren't they? They wanted to have their own world, comfortable together, and make a name for themselves. Let's just think back to the beginning of the Bible. How did the serpent tempt the woman in Genesis 3:4? Wasn't it something like this? When you don't listen to God, you want to surely die. That's what the serpent suggested. Don't listen to God. Take the fruit. You won't die. So eat what you want. Do what you want. You determine your own consequences. So surely did. And we live with the consequences of their choice today. So the people at Babel said to one another, come, let us make. There's no one is asking God about it. No one is considering his words. In fact, they use and abuse the words God had spoken when he created human beings in Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make. They're putting themselves in the place of God. But when the people of Babel speak these words, they are creating their own means of protection and self-importance. They're developing their own identities, which is going to be really fragile. God intended that people would bear his image across the world. They would reflect his identity and represent him to all creation. When created, human beings alone were declared as very good. But they chose to stay in the garden and let the serpent determine for them what they needed in order to stand apart from God. And now they were choosing again to construct their own plans. And what are our means of protection? What do we build to make us feel safe? In doing so, how do we ignore God's call to go? Instead, we demand that he blesses our efforts to be secure financially and relationally with an easy life. For the storyteller, the name Babel or Babylon does not mean gate of God, as the Babylonians believed, but confusion. And it's like the words folly and flood. Far from being the last word in human culture and our greatness, it is the ultimate symbol of human failure when we attempt to go it alone in defiance of our Creator. The comic in my mind imagines just what it was in that story when God moved in and said, well, I know how to sort this lot out, and he confused their languages. Just imagine you're talking to your neighbour one minute and you kind of can make sense to one another, and the next minute you can't. Well, maybe that's not so foreign. Anyway, but, you know, I mean, I remember once being in Stirling in Scotland, and I went into a supermarket. I mean, and I asked a reasonable question. And to this day, I have absolutely no idea what he said to me. None at all. Now, I think he thinks he was speaking the same language I was speaking. But I know he was not. He might have understood me, but there was no way I understood him. And I came back out to the car and I said, well, I don't know what he said. So we had to work it out ourselves. But just imagine what that would have been like there in the city, in the story. They could all talk to one another. Just imagine what world peace would do if we had all the same culture across the face of the earth. And all the same language. Maybe it wouldn't work. Just imagine. Here you are talking and all of a sudden you couldn't. Mind you, some conversations between men and women, and it's just totally a different language, isn't it, guys? Anyway, so what are we building as our way to increase our authority? From a kingdom responsibility perspective, we are to live out of the authority God has given us to care for each other and the world around us. And remember that the authority comes from who we are in Christ, what God has given. In Genesis 11:4, these people said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with a top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. They're setting out to rule the world in their own wisdom. Those building the Tower of Babel don't even hide their disobedience. The name of the game in their world isn't to be fruitful and multiply, but to be so busy building their own thing so that they can avoid obeying God. Boy, that's easy to do, isn't it? I'm being so busy doing stuff for God that I'm actually not obeying Him. You know, we don't actually like to hear those words of Jesus in the script, in the gospel, where He says, "Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord shall enter the kingdom of heaven." Or the ones that when in that parable of Jesus, where the maidens come back having got their oil and got it all together, and they knock on the door and they said, "It's us, it's me, remember?" And He says, "I don't even know you." We can be so busy doing what we think is important and land up avoiding obeying God. Though God has commanded humankind to spread out over the whole earth, this group in Mesopotamia has chosen rather to establish for themselves a secure center from which to control their own environment and protect themselves. Instead of a God-given unity and identity, they seek a false autonomous collectivism and a reputation of their own devising. By building this tower, they arrogantly challenge God to come down and bless their endeavor. Babel stands as a monument to the human desire to build our own kingdom apart from God, so said Craig Bartholomew. Where are we controlling our time? Where are we controlling or ruling our relationships? How are we attempting to avoid living by faith and wisdom, but instead choosing to live by safety and reason? God is merciful in breaking down the walls around our ideas and beliefs of making ourselves kings and queens of our own domain. Like it or not, God is merciful when He doesn't let our plans succeed. God in His grace came down to show us what a fruitful life really looks like. He did this with the people at Babel. But His ultimate example was when He came down as Jesus. And He flipped upside down our kingdoms and the way we thought authority was supposed to work. You see, instead of asking, "What are we building?" God wants us to be asking, "Where are we going and who are we blessing?" Right there at the beginning when God said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth," that was what He wanted. He didn't want them all grouping together in some place. He wanted them to make use of the extraordinary resource that God had created. So what did God do? It should not surprise us. So the Lord dispersed them from Babel, from there to over the face of all the earth, and left off building the city. We are to be a sent people who follow God, who has so graciously come to us, even in our disobedience. The choice, however, remains ours to obey and to follow His lead. The joy of it is that we don't have to obey to form our identity. Our obedience comes from knowing our identity is in Him. We are blessed by Him, and we are called to bless others. And Jesus is the builder. He promised that He would build His church. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Him. We can be vulnerable with Him because His desire is to be reconciled to us. We can gladly serve Him and give up our authority and honor of Him because He first came to serve us and shows us how to exercise servant authority. I wonder, will we listen to His command and obey it? To go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. It's not a safe plan, but it's a good plan. It's a plan that helps us answer, where are we going and who are we blessing? Lord God, forgive us when we build our Babels, when we gather around us things and stuff to make us feel secure, or that we can't take with us. And we forget that you have another plan, a better plan, that encompasses our whole life, to give it meaning, significance and purpose. It may not be safe, but it's the best. Lord, help us to obey you, to go, to make disciples, to obey your commands. Deliver your people in our own time. To be a covenant people, fulfilling a kingdom responsibility. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.